Hey, you want that to go?
We have some quick takeouts now on stories that we're following this week. And surprising news out of Britain, a move that has made bankers hot with anger. The UK has slapped a 50% tax on bankers' bonuses. Louise Story is here to explain this. She's the finance reporter for the New York Times. Louise, tell us about this tax, how it works.
So for anyone in Britain this year, and that includes people who work for British companies like Barclays, but it also includes someone who works for Goldman Sachs in London, for instance. So for any of those people who get more than a $41,000 bonus this year, 50% of it will be taxed away.
And who pays that tax?
The banks will pay the tax, but it will come out of what they would have paid to the workers. So it, you know, it's similar to withholding taxes for people. And this is kind of the worst nightmare for Wall Street employees. I remember last spring when the House of Representatives in the United States passed a 90% bonus tax, and I was talking to people on Wall Street, literally hearing about their employees coming and crying to them at the idea that this bonus that they were counting on would be heavily taxed away. Now we're seeing it in Britain today in the Wall Street Journal. The Prime Minister of Britain and the President of France are calling for such a tax to be global this year. And yesterday, right, a global tax, they're saying you need to coordinate it worldwide. And then yesterday we saw Dennis Kucinich, who's in the House of Representatives, a Democrat from Ohio, saying that we should have it in the U.S., that we should have a 60% tax this year. So this,
when Barney Frank starts saying it, I think then the bankers get worried.
There
Kucinich,
you go.
As long as it's Kucinich.
But it's picking up again, you know.
I'm not getting you. Louise, unpack this for me. Give me an average number for a bonus for a banker.
It depends on how long you've been there, but put it this way. Most bonuses are over $41,000.
Right. Even in Britain.
Let's say that you're getting a bonus of, say, $200,000.
Yes, that's easily, a low-level bonus. You could get a bonus of $500,000.
So $159,000 of it will be taxed at a 50% rate.
That's right. So the first $41,000 is not taxed. The rest is taxed. So a lot of that money goes away.
Okay, and like you said, it's possible. Do you really think it's possible we could see something like this?
I thought the issue was closed last spring when that 90% tax got dropped. But anything is possible in this environment.
One British tabloid headline is "Bank you very much."
Thank you
very much.
This
morning in London, that's good. Sports takeout with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Sports and news. I want to talk to you about Barack Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize in just a second. But UConn versus Kentucky at Madison Square Garden. It was a big college game. Both teams are top ranked. How did it turn out?
Well, okay, so you had fourth ranked Kentucky that edged UConn. Who's ranked number 12, 64-61.
And UConn is in the Final Four almost every single year, it seems like.
Right, and these two coaches, John Calipari from Kentucky, who's in his first year with the storied program at Kentucky, and Jim Calhoun with UConn, he always has basically NBA players on his squads. So it was as much of a coaching matchup as it was a matchup of young players.
Mm-hmm. You played college football, right?
Correct.
At Ryan, were you a scholarship?
Yes, I was.
So when you got that scholarship, how did you feel about having to earn it on the field going forward?
Well, I knew that I was guaranteed for those 4 years, which is interesting.
But it put some pressure on you.
It definitely put that pressure on. And this is an interesting point that you bring up, because a lot of these players, the level of play in college basketball is improving because you can't go to the NBA directly out of high school. You have to play, at least have 1 year out or play when you're 19. So what you're seeing right now are players like Patrick Patterson, who's playing for Kentucky, or John Wall, who's the superstar point guard. And if you remember that name, John Wall, he's the guy who'll probably go number one in the NBA draft for Kentucky, and he could literally be in the NBA right now.
Well, this scholarship question raises the whole Nobel Prize issue, because as the scholarship is pressure to perform on the field for a college athlete, Barack Obama is under some pressure. What do you think? What do you think he's going to need to do even in his own mind, earn this Nobel Peace Prize?
First of all, I think he should do what he has done a lot of times, is to push it off of him and suggest that and name other people. If I was him, I would go through all the other people that should have won the award besides him and focus the award on those people, number one. And on number two, then start to figure out a strategy that would actually earn that award. And that's where the pressure comes
from. What would that be? What would that be?
I think it would have to be honoring the promises that he came in with. You know,
so that's huge. Then.
And that's
a very, very tall order. Yeah, would you trade places with him?
Yes, I would trade places with
him.
Whoa,
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen making a headliner. All right, he's on his way to Oslo. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor, talking about Barack Obama and the University of Connecticut and Kentucky at Madison Square Garden last night.
The last day count comes from you. We've been talking about jobs for a very long time. That's because so many of you need one. President Obama has an idea on how to create jobs, but you have some too.
Well, Sophie sent us this email. Any product sold in the United States should have a requirement that at least 75% of its manufactured products are made in the U.S. mainland. Otherwise, the company should not be allowed to distribute in here. No other country has been idiotic enough to hand over its manufacturing base as we've done. That might not hold up to scrutiny, actually.
May not.
But thanks for the email, Sophie.
Earl emails one idea that looks into the past. In the early 1970s, the government initiated a program where people residing in high unemployment-impacted areas were given government-funded jobs with local agencies. These people were eventually absorbed into the civil service system. I and many others participated in this program, and it was highly successful in reducing unemployment.
It's the CETA program. CETA, Comprehensive Education and Training Act, gave me my first job in media.
Wow, two success stories.
Why look to the past when one person says, just look at your own home for a job?
People who are receiving federal housing help would have an extra room in order to take care of an elderly person that could live by themselves mostly, but needs help on certain things. And another thing that I would do is I would pay people to go out and to search for anthills, fire anthills, and to pick up trash.
This is a man who's tortured by ants. Finally, John, we're still getting good stories after we talked earlier this week about how more of the workforce is being made up of temp and freelance workers. Carolyn in Farmington Hills, Michigan, emails us. I work at a manufacturing and distribution company. We're planning to do some strategic hires next year, and some will be on a temp or contracting basis. It's mainly because we can't guarantee this work will last beyond the defined projects that we need
done. Still a positive economic indicator. Keep sharing your stories on freelancing jobs or anything else that's going to increase employment in our economy. 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at the Takeaway. We love your ideas. Coming up, we get the latest on the congressional health care bill. What's it really going to mean for consumers, and who gets a public option anyway?